You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Pakistan is a nation under pressure from many different sources. To the north, a war that threatens to destabilize areas of the country. To the south, a sometimes hostile nuclear power. Add to that a foreign superpower that constantly meddles in their affairs. And now, to crown all this, internal tensions. Just last year, the situation within Pakistan looked hopeful. The alliance of the Pakistan People's Party, or PPP, and the Pakistan Muslim League, or PML, had ended military rule. The two parties had agreed to a coalition. They had also agreed to restore Chief Justice Chaudhry, who had been deposed. But tensions between the PPP and the PML erupted last month. The leaders of the Pakistan Muslim League, the Sharif brothers, were barred from holding office. President Zardari is thought to be behind this move. The upshot is that Pakistan stands on the brink of political chaos. Captain Muhammad Matab is the vice chairman of the Joint India-Pakistan Peace Network. Red Eye Collective member Sean Mullen spoke with him several days ago about the situation in Pakistan. He began by asking Captain Matab about the roots of the current political storm.
Well, Sean, as you know, the political unrest has been going on for some time, and it basically started off in Musharraf regime and backed by the U.S. government at that time. And then we were hoping that as the elections, general elections, as you mentioned last year, both the major parties in Pakistan, they were working together and they had quite a few agreements, and in fact written agreements, that that was a very bright hope for the Pakistanis and for that region, that they will work together and bring back Pakistan towards the real democracy for that region and for the people, and for especially when both the parties and their leadership has been sacrificing so much. The agenda was hard, especially reinstating the Chief Justice Muhammad Iftikhar Chaudhry at that time, and a couple of other things. But there was a hope. Unfortunately, as we went on, mostly because our politicians and the other people, they're not so trained, well-trained, and they had to stick with the ethics and of the politics to serve people.
And these two parties have fallen out over the issue of reinstating Chief Justice Chaudhry. Is that correct?
Both had agreed, you know. Both had agreed many times. There was agreement, and even so, that Ms. Benazir Bhutto, as you know, she was assassinated and murdered in Rawalpindi during the election campaign and all these things. And she herself said that Justice Iftikhar Chaudhry is my Chief Justice, and if she comes back to power, we'll put up a Pakistani flag on his house, and he will be back. And Zardari and everybody else, they agreed on that one, but I think they were not very sincere in what they were basically saying, and that led to this such type of chaos right now going on. And especially, I must say that it's not just the Pakistan People's Party; it's a small group which is backing, which has come around and surrounded Zardari for their own interest in all these things. They don't have long-lasting history of serving people or serving People's Party, Pakistan People's Party, or in any fashion. So it's a small group who has, from my perspective, they have basically hijacked Pakistan People's Party, which has a great tradition and has been proven representative of all the four provinces of the country.
And that small group is led by the current president?
That's right. And like she Mr. Rahman Malik. Who knew him? Nobody. And then you have Sheri Rahman, and then such type of people, Salman Taseer. So these are the people who have basically somehow got together, and they're leading the party now. And there is a major group in the party itself who are opposing such type of actions, like imposing the governor rule, letting breaking down the rules in different places, cracking down on the politicians and peace activists and workers. So there is a division within the People's Party itself.
Now I understand that a lot of the recent troubles have been in the Punjab. Why is that area so volatile?
Punjab is the largest province with the largest population of the Pakistan itself, and the Pakistan Muslim League was able to make a government in Punjab, and Mr. Shehbaz Sharif, who is the younger brother of Nawaz Sharif, I believe he was running the government in a very efficient manner. He was doing fine, as far as I know, as far as my understanding is, he has been doing well. And they had the Nawaz Sharif and his party has been a really, really strict and hardliner in terms of the Justice Iftikhari issue.
I believe on Thursday of this week there was something called the Long March. What was the purpose of that event?
Yes, there was a Long March, and that was planned a month ago. And this, as you know, there have been a movement by mostly by the lawyers and the civic society in Pakistan and the general public of Pakistan. They got together at the back of the lawyers, and their one agenda and sole agenda is to bring the deposed justices back in their positions, and especially the Chief Justice Mr. Chaudhry. They call for the Long March to support judiciary. And in Punjab, the government of Punjab that was being run by Mr. Shehbaz Sharif and all this, and they supported because they promised to the people that we are not going to compromise less than having Mr. Chaudhry back in position in a respectable manner. To be very honest, the best solution for the situation is reinstating Mr. Iftikhar Chaudhry and let the judiciary do its work. You know, don't just hijack. Don't just put your own people to get the type of decision you want from them. It has been happening in the past. It has happened now, but I think it should be over, and the judiciary should be allowed to work respectably and with a dignity and whatever the Constitution of Pakistan allows them and asks them to do. So I know the campaign has been going on for a long time. Government has been cracking down on to the political workers. There have been so many arrests and even the politicians have been beaten up. They have been taken away. Nobody knows where they are. So it's a way of crushing that movement where I believe is being very largely backed by the people of Pakistan and especially the people of Punjab.
The previous Pakistani president Musharraf came from the army. We know the army is a significant player in Pakistani politics. What do you expect them to do?
Well, I think every Pakistani and every democratic person and anybody who loves democracy would definitely love to see the military and such type of regime to do their job, what they're supposed to do, and not to take over or not to consequence the politicians are get involved into it. But on the other side, unfortunately, if we look back at the history of Pakistan, whenever there was a military coup or any general or army or the armed forces taking over, there was definitely unrest and there was some sort of political chaos. Sometime it was created by the establishment, I would say just about every time. And it was deliberately and in a planned way that they created the situation so they can justify themselves to take over the government. And I hope that with the current General Kiani, he has been very professional, he has been very cooperative, he understands the situation. But on the other side, when it if it is backed by or decided by or is being the desire of the Americans, so that the possibility is always there, especially in this type of situation. But I truly hope that this is not going to happen, and they deal with issues in a democratic way.
You mentioned the United States, the United States, of course, has historically had a strong influence on what happens in Pakistan. How have they reacted to the current situation?
Well, Sean, I think whatever they have been doing, it has not brought any peace or any betterment for that country or even for that region. I know there have been some statements they want to have, America wants to have a democratic system working, a stable Pakistan and political systems and law and order. For me, the kind of things they have been doing and they are still doing, if I look on those things, they are not sincere what they are saying in terms of bringing the democracy or stability in Pakistan. They just want to have somebody working for them, and unfortunately, most of our people like Musharraf himself, even Zardari, I would say, has been working for them. As long as they know their agenda is being followed, and whosoever is committed and promises, they will keep him or her. And many of our people like me, we have been basically demanding Americans and their allies to get out of that region that has basically caused lots of trouble and helped the anti-peace forces to grow and prosper.
Of course, it's hard to talk about the Americans without mentioning the war in Afghanistan. And what kind of pressure has that put on Pakistan?
Well, Pakistan, as you know, has been a frontline fighter for Americans, especially in the Musharraf regime all the way. And as I mentioned before, it has the fight in Afghanistan has, from my perspective, that has been expanded and extended to Pakistan as well. And there have been hundreds and hundreds of drone attacks and even armed forces getting into the in Pakistani areas, which I believe it cannot happen without the consent of the top leadership of Pakistan. This is not the war on terrorism. This is not the war on terror. It's just to it's a new colonialism in a way to capture countries like Iraq. So I don't see anything positive coming from the Americans, no matter whoever is the president or the person in charge of the government.
Finally, we've not yet mentioned India. What kind of pressure, what kind of influence is India exerting on Pakistani politics?
Well, it's an open secret, and everybody knows that whenever something happens in India, it is always blamed that it has been done by Pakistan. And anything happening in Pakistan, it's always taken that it has been done or is being supported or some kind of involvement from India is there. So that for the peace between India and Pakistan, and we have been pursuing that. It's not just the issue between the few leaders or politicians. It's the matter of people, and who is actually suffering is the people of both the countries. So that movement, people to people contact, and then awareness and letting the people know that what has been happening in the past and what is happening now, and how different politicians or different people, they work on their own agenda to create the chaos and misunderstandings and mistrust between the two countries. And same is in this situation. Many people believe in Pakistan, and they have been basically led into that direction to believe that there is certain amount of involvement from India, or at least from certain groups in India who are strong enough to do such type of activities in Pakistan or even in Afghanistan and in that region. So there is skepticism. There is some kind of understanding in a way that India is involved, and directly or indirectly, and for sure we know Americans are there, and Americans have their own agenda, and in a way Indians or at least some group of Indians, they have been very much aligned with the Americans, especially in terms of when it comes to terrorism and all these things, or extremism in that region. So there is a wide definition of what is terrorism and what is actually not. So, and Americans, obviously, they have their own definitions to take charge of the region, or take charge of the governments, or to take charge of what is going on in that region, and they work with their own definition. I must say, if you're talking about Taliban, who knew Taliban some years ago, or Al Qaeda? Nobody. But now, if you look at the scenario, if I'm not wrong, 70% of the area, they are part of the movement going on, or they have lots of sympathies for them, and always come down to the root cause, and that is when you have the external forces, especially Americans. When you go for hunting people, when you go for indiscriminate killing, when you don't understand the culture, we don't understand what the issues are, and you are trying to solve the issues or to control the issues by force, that's not going to work. You have to realize what is important to those people. Not everybody was fighting against Pakistan or Americans or any other country. Yes, I personally don't agree with many of their ideology and the way they work, but that doesn't mean that we should just go and start killing innocent people there. And that's what Sean is thousands of people have been highlighting. This is not the way. You can't get the desserts by force. You got to be negotiating with them. And if this was the case few years back, I certainly believe either Taliban would have never been there, or they would have not been that much strong enough that now they're challenging the entire government. The Zardari is just expressed his views, but every single person in Pakistan in that region knows that one day there is a chance, if this situation goes on, that one day there is a chance that Taliban may be taking over the country. Who knows? But these people, like Americans and their allies, they are not understanding. They have basically, in a way, helped Taliban and such type of forces and ideologies to get even stronger and stronger.
You've been listening to Captain Mohammed Matab. He is the vice chairman of the Joint India-Pakistan Peace Network, and he spoke with Red Eye Collective member Sean Mullen a few days ago.